As many of you know, the dairy industry was the first one to develop a code of practice under the new format laid out, and we were quite pleased. I was one of the producers on that committee that started it, and it was an interesting process. And I think some of the things that Jackie said earlier on are very true. That we started with a very diverse group of people, and in the end melted together to be a group that was very proud of what we developed and what we published. So why we did this is that we wanted to make sure that the dairy industry remains a proactive leader in animal care. And we also wanted to that was an image aspect. We also wanted to improve animal care on the farms as we went along. We wanted to provide information and guidance on dairy management, and as Jeff said, on a scientific-based principle. And we're fortunate that we, over the years, we have funded dairy research along the animal welfare lines, and Jeff and his partners in, especially now at UBC. The dairy code is made up of two aspects. One is a requirement aspect that's either a legal requirement or an industry standard, and the other aspect is a best management practice and improvement. Next slide, please. We promoted the slides. Where am I with my slides? The little green button? All right. There we are. Dairy Farmers of Canada distributed the Dairy Code to all 13,000-plus farmers in Canada in 2009. Since then, we've been presenting at dairy conferences and dairy meetings across the country. It's also available on our website. The other aspect that we did is that this is the Dairy Code here. It's 65 pages. Now, some of us, I'm sure, have read it. But I would suggest probably that there's 13,000 that haven't read it detail to detail. So the next aspect that we did is we developed this. It's a checklist. It's 7 pages long. And it's something that the farmers can take with their veterinarian. And that's the basic principle behind the Dairy Code, is they have to have a working relationship with a veterinarian. This is a team approach, and this is how we get around. The Dairy Code is an outcome result. It doesn't say specific things that how to do things. It says we want this result. How you do it is up to you and your veterinarian, and therefore the Dairy Code will live on, because as new technologies, as new drugs come out, whatever, then the farmer and the veterinarian will work together as a team to make sure that that stays up to date and current. This checklist can be used, as it is in my farm. We use this to sit down with the veterinarian and go over and say, okay, where do we fall down? On the first one of the first pages, it said, debudding and dehorning. Pain control is used in budding and dehorning. That's something that we weren't doing on our farm. It's okay. The veterinarian and we assigned a person, actually my nephew, to take over this. And all right, you're responsible for this. And they worked together on a couple of different schemes, and they found one that fit on our operation. And you know, now my nephew, he was always, it was a challenge. He always had to kind of stay, you know, those calves dehorned, and now because the format's there and he's comfortable with doing it, you know, that's one thing that's done and done right and done on time. The other aspect is that this is a precursor to an assessment tool that will be developed in 2011 to 2013. As you know, as Jackie said, we're piloting the assessment model, which we'll talk about a little bit more later on. The other thing that the veterinarians like about this is that several of them have said, we like this because this is a tool that we can use to go to our other producers that maybe we have some concerns with. And we can take this and say, you know, maybe we should go over this. And it's something that they can point out, that the concerns that they've had on a farm, and can, you know, instead of bringing it out as their idea, it's somebody else's idea and somebody else's standard. And it's a standard that's going to be looked at across the country. The other thing that the code is used in, on our farm is that we use it as a reference tool. On our particular farm, we have high school kids that come in on the evening, one each evening. There's three in their team, and they come in to move cattle, scrape down, and feed small calves in the evenings and in the weekend mornings. Now, they ask something, well, why do you do this? I was clipping udders, cow's udders the other day. They're asking, why do you do this, okay? I went to the section and said, okay, there's the reason why we do it. So it's used as a training tool on our farm, and I know on other farms also. The question always comes up, okay, you've got it out there, you've got the checklist, how many farms are actually using it? And Catherine led into it very well. We want a benchmark. Where we are now, do farmers know the code, and do they adopt it? Ongoing initiatives are sped by Ed Perner from the University of Alberta. Results we expect in the fall of 2012. Findings will identify areas and topics where farmers want more information. As Jackie said, it's an information thing. It's education all the time. Informing our communications people. An extension on where we go. And help to develop the assessment tool and or program. As I've said before, Dairy Farmers of Canada have always been very active, and we still are, strong supporters of science related to animal care. Right now we're in our cluster research program, identifying factors that reduce cow comfort to ultimately develop intervention tools to help farmers adapt new technologies to improve cow comfort and longevity. And also adapting cows to new technology. Now, in the dairy industry, we're moving more and more to robotics. There's less human-cow intervention, something that we have to look at down the road. Is there a difference in animal care? Is there improved animal care? Is it benign, or is it a negative aspect? So there's always, there's new technology, but then there's new technology put forth other challenges. And continue to develop extension. NFACC is developing an assessment model to guide farmer assessment program in Canada. DFC is gathering a team to develop a dairy assessment program. As we said, a pilot. Our time frame is to develop the program between over the next year, test it on farms in 2012 and early 2013, and a finalized program in 2013. The adaptation by the end user. What do we need to favor acceptance and adaptation of assessment by farmers? We need a credible program and a framework. Extension will be critical. Need to communicate the reasons to farmers why they need to do this. Common overall approach and strategy to communication and animal welfare. You know, in this day and age, you can no longer just do things. You've got to say you do it, and you've got to prove you do it in a form that's acceptable to your consumers and based on a model that's practical and a common sense on the farm. And that's what we want to do within the dairy industry, because we want to make sure that we maintain the image that Canadian dairy farmers have of being good stewards of their animals and producing a high-quality product based on Canadian standards for environment, for employment, and especially for animal welfare. That's our goal, And that's the program that we hope to reach. Thank you, and questions, we'll entertain now.
My question is a quickie. Is biosecurity included in your animal assessment care program? I missed it, but I didn't hear either of you speak of biosecurity. Thank you.
Well, since we don't have a program as of yet, we have a Canadian quality milk program, but that's has a little bit of touch on biosecurity. But no, it's not in our Canadian quality milk program. It's not a major function.
And with the Canadian Pork Council's animal care assessment, it was actually built on our CQA program. So what we did is looked at our food safety program first and then added elements that we thought needed to be added for animal care. Even though they're two separate programs, in order to do animal care assessment, you already have to be on the food safety program. So the biosecurity elements were captured in the food safety program. And so we don't have any real specific ones in the animal care because we're already covered off. We also have a brand new initiative under our Canadian Swine Health Board to develop a whole separate biosecurity standard, and that's just being launched now. So it takes the biosecurity elements that we have in our food safety program to kind of a new level with a separate biosecurity standard.
Question here.
My name is Jacqueline Hamoon. I'm a director from Alberta Pork as well as a producer. We've had several discussions with our producers within Alberta regarding your ACA and the CQA. We agree with your ACA, we agree with your CQA, and we promote our producers to go and do these two programs. The question that I have as a producer and as a director in Region 3 in Alberta Pork is, why is it that if these two programs are so different, why do they have to be linked? Simply because if we link them together and something happens in the CQA, we're shut down with everything, even if we comply with the ACA. Why is it that if something happens then in the ACA, we're shut down and we're complying with the CQA? Why do they have to be linked together?
So this is a question that relates to the decision of our board, the board of the Canadian Pork Council, to make the animal care requirements a requirement of our CQA program, which up to now has really just been a food safety program. And it actually goes back to the philosophy we had in creating the animal care assessment. When it was developed, when we started to develop it in 2002, after we had this workshop in 2001, we had the vision that it would always be part of our CQA program. CQA originally was supposed to be kind of everything, Canadian quality assurance. It wasn't specifically for food safety. And so when we started ACA, it was with the intention that sometime it would be linked. And actually, the way we looked at it was the early years, which actually were quite a bit longer than we had expected from 2005 till now, were really phase-ins to give producers a chance to know the program, to get used to it, and so their CQA wouldn't be penalized. Our board finally said, you know what, we've had enough of that time. Those programs should be linked. They're linked in so many ways anyway. The animal care platform was built on CQA. It's the same delivery system. It's the same question and answer format. It's the same minimum standard setting approach. The programs were built to be on the same platform, and so it was really just a question of timing before those two programs were twinned officially.
Hello?
Yep. That's on.
All right, now? It's Neil Jotham again, and I'd just like to share a historical moment with the group here. If I may, while I may be experiencing a lot more seniors moments, this is a historical moment. I was the executive director of the Federation of Humane Societies when the code process was started. But all the way through and ever since, one of the important things that I always felt and promoted was the need to have some sorts of certification program. I raised that as urgently as I could at in 2001 when Agriculture Canada had a fairly large stakeholders meeting here. And I know that with the trapping organization that I'm working with and the codes of practice and the certification of animal traps was one way that I knew that this could be done. So I just wanted to say that I very much appreciate what everyone has done in this particular regard, because it's an important step for the welfare of animals raised on farms. Thank you.
Jeff Rushen from Ag Canada. Catherine, you said one of the challenges was that there was no financial reward for the producer. I mean, I wonder if it's more that we haven't explored what those may be. I mean, I remember when the Australian broiler producers adopted their audit system, they actually found there was a noticeable reduction in mortality of chicks, for instance, because when people follow standards, they tend to pay more attention to what they're doing. And I know with the Dairy Code, we put a lot of emphasis on lameness, which, you know, cost producers millions and millions of dollars every year. So I think maybe we should just pay more attention to trying to track what the financial advantages are of following these codes.
I think you're absolutely right. And my comments that had to do with kind of research up front were supposed to be aimed at that as well, that I think we need to think as we put these programs together about looking at kind of where the industry's at and trying to see how does the implementation of assessment tools change where the industry is at, because you're starting to collect data and can record it over time. But the second one is precisely this, is on farm. We, and this is the hog industry, have not done a good job. Well, we haven't really done much at all on it to say, if you do, I don't know, one of the requirements, the program requirements, this will actually contribute to how efficiently you're running your operation. And I think it is a real shortcoming, because as we've just been through in the hog industry, successive bad years, it's very difficult to promote the implementation of a program that they see only as an added cost. And had we done the work to say, you know what, if you do these three things or this thing, and it's actually going to improve your productivity on farm by this amount, we might not be having the resistance that we're seeing in some areas to the implementation of the program.
We, in dairy business, we know very clearly that that it's a win-win situation with animal welfare. A happy cow is a cow that has less problems to me, the farmer, gives more production to the processor that's looking for milk, and is a better outlook for the animal. So it's a win-win situation for everything. And Jeff is very true, and that's the reason why we put the dollars that we have into research.
I'm Mark Finn with Manitoba Pork Council. Just to speak on the food safety program and the animal care assessment program as well, and the importance of linking them. Maybe the processors can speak more to this, but if we have producers that can't meet the animal care assessment, there's a lot of markets out there that probably won't want to be buying their products. Same thing goes for food safety. If they're not meeting that, and it's not like it's a percentage like pass or fail. It's if they can't meet either one of them, they're not going to want the product. So that's why there's an important link between the two.
What percent of your, sorry, I was writing questions too, I was listening. What percent of the farms are on the assessment program?
Yeah, right now our numbers aren't that great. We've only got about several hundred producers, and we have over 6,000 hog producers. That will change January 1st, 2012 when we twin the program. So when the animal care assessment requirements become part of our CQA requirements, then you'll see the number I talked about earlier, where 90% of market hogs are on the program. You'll see that with our animal care as well.
Jacqueline Hamoud again. You keep saying to us as producers that all of this stuff is mandatory, is not mandatory, is volunteer. Then if it's volunteer, we shouldn't have to get penalized if we don't do it, number one. Number two, you're saying to us that if this is all volunteering, the ACA is going to be mandatory as of 2012, I believe, or 13. So if it's volunteer, why is it going to become mandatory then? I would just say, if don't mention the word volunteer anymore, because it's not a volunteer program. It's a mandatory program, because if we don't comply with it, we cannot sell our product. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, and that's why I'm actually, I guess, cautious about using the word voluntary as well. And on my slide, that's why it had all the question marks behind it. Yeah, there's not a hog producer in Canada that would say CQA is voluntary. We still have to call it voluntary because it's not regulated. It's not a government-regulated issue. But, yes, absolutely, because it's a condition of sale to federally inspected plants, it has become, you know, if you want to sell your product, mandatory. And yes, there is a, you do talk about that we're kind of forcing this on us. I mean, we're an organization run by producers. So these are producers who are saying that this animal care assessment program is critical and that it's our job as producers who are making these decisions to demonstrate our commitment to animal care. And, you know, that's part of the linkage of the programs, that it's where producers think that the industry needs to go to be a leader on these issues and be able to talk confidently about what we're doing.
Just a comment. I mean, the question about volunteers and mandatory. I mean, we had Canadian Quality Milk Program. We started it a number of years ago. It is becoming mandatory now across the country. The reason why we started and the reason why we took it and did it ourselves in cooperation and with the blessings of the CFIA is that people like McDonald's were coming to us and saying, you know, how do you assure that the product that I'm buying is of quality? So we said, okay, are we better off to have a program developed, operated by farmers with the blessing of the government organization, or is it someone else coming in? I mean, we see the processors in the States in the dairy business. Each one of them has an assessment model. They're all over the place. In Canada, especially in dairy, we have operate a pool product. You know, my milk goes in with my neighbor's milk, goes in with the milk from the other end of the province, in my case. So we have to operate as a unit, and that's what we've did, and that's what we're doing with CQM. And I think that's what we'll probably have to do with animal welfare also, because it is becoming the issue of the future. Thank you.
Maybe just further to that, because I think that's an important point. We see both food safety and animal care as non-competitive issues. So doesn't it make sense for us to do this nationally? So that there is a set standard for these things. People can buy into them. People can have confidence in them. They're credible. They're transparent. We don't want to be competing on welfare issues.
Thank you.